need to keep endorsing the fact that, and encouraging you to get into Ephesians for yourselves. This book has been on my heart for quite a while, and with the leadership, that it's like there's some key stuff in Ephesians for us as a church to get hold of in order to go on. And it's stuff about your place in Christ and that. And I would encourage you to really, to not just see it as, that Sunday thing, but to take it and to work it through in whatever ways. Okay, so we're going to read. what I want us to do is read this together. So what I'd like you to do, it's going to be on here, but I'd also like you, if you prefer to read from a Bible, there's Bibles that have been put out. I'd like everybody to have access, either through that or in your hand, to Ephesians 1. And we're going to read together from verse 3 to verse 14, this amazing prayer, this prose with so much truth in it. But you see, it's very much an us section. Okay, so it's an act of worship, and it's speaking the truth over ourselves and over each other. So I'd like you to stand for this, because it's an act of worship. This is an active thing. So could you stand, please? I'm going to switch this off so all the voices can be heard. I'll continue to read. For this reason, see, now it goes into the I, that's why I wanted to do that as the we. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all his people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that can be invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Glory! And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen. Amen. This is not just some interesting ancient scripture, guys. This is the Word of God. This is the truth. First of all, before I actually get to the slides and stuff, I'm going to preempt one of the slides because I want to cover it here. Do you notice that Paul is saying, ever since I've heard what's happening? So what he's saying is, I know that you've believed. I know you love with the love of God. I know that you've started. And what he's saying is, please don't stop there. Yeah, because he says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all his people, I've not stopped giving thanks. And what he's saying is, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better and so that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order you may know the hope. In other words, what he's saying is, I'm praying for you guys because there's some incredible truth and I am praying that God will reveal it to you. It has to come from God. Without God revealing himself, we're not going to know. For all of our intellectual capacity, we are not going to get our way to God. God is going to reveal himself, and he has revealed himself in Christ and by His Holy Spirit. But there is a response that we need to make. And what I would say is that is for us to say amen to that prayer. It's almost like there's a prayer being prayed over you that you would have a spiritual revelation and you'd see all this deep stuff. And your response is to say in humility, yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Father. Would you do that for me, Lord? Would you give me that spiritual revelation? And then you need to work that out. You need to study. You need to worship. Why is that? Because this is not just an intellectual exercise. It involves the intellect and the mind to search the scriptures, to find out what it means. But it's also, because it's from the Holy Spirit and it's the eyes of your heart that are enlightened, it's an act of, I can't work my way intellectually into this place. I need your Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you, please, that you would take this and you would say, yes, Father, show me out of your word. Don't make me dependent on the Sunday. Show me out of your word what this means. And apply yourself to study these. Especially, like I say, over the next 3 weeks, where this foundation of chapter one has been laid by the guys before me and today. And then we'll move on into the rest. Right. That's not the preach. That's the introduction and the encouragement that you would individually just say, yes, Lord, I'm in business with you. I'm going to follow this up. I want to walk in this. I don't just want it to wash over me. I'm going to apply it. Oh, because that's where freedom comes from. Right. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, the good news is that has actually skipped the slide. I just felt that it would be better to say there. Right. Here we go. Hallelujah. So if I just... Not yet. Okay. I'll just be patient and wait for the Lord, as they said. Bish, bash, bosh. How does that look on there? It's always disappointing on this. It looks so much better on the computer screen than it. Ah, there we are. That makes a terrific difference. Right, put on your 3D high-res goggles, and that looks amazing. I think I'm just going to stick to black and white in the future. Right, this is the title: Jesus Above Every Name. Okay. Right, I just got to keep thinking. Two things, really. Calm down, and Bill Johnson. So, and I've deliberately done a very laid-back thing, even if it's going to work on... Maybe too laid-back. Oh. Okay, just to reiterate. You can do it from over there? Is this just not... on? Okay, I might be preaching from the word today. Backup notes. Interesting, isn't it? Okay. Wait a minute. Yes.
You get on with it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. So this is the stuff that I just said, really. And how to understand one. Oh, we're back on track, are we? Thank you very much. And hello again. Don't know where you were for the last few minutes. We're just having a bit of fun with the overhead. Isn't it? Back in the day, you put the pen on the... Right, okay, so you agree with it. You press in. Remember Josh's picture last week from coal mines? I love that. The miners come up, if you weren't here, it's basically digging out the coal, pressing in to get the treasures. And you could see the people who had done it because they had coal dust on them. And as you press into the treasures of Christ, people will see that on you. Your life will change. And the glory and the love of Christ will be, we've done this. Worship, okay? Study and then act, okay? You've got to step out in this because otherwise it just becomes a very me, self-centered sort of exercise, which is not what it's there for. I'm loving the colors. Okay, so this is what I'm going to be doing today, this last part of Ephesians, all right? Now, don't get too used to this, people. Don't get used to but, how about the power of God, the place of Christ, and the purpose of the church. That's basically the line-out for today, okay? So the power of God, the place of Christ, and the purpose of the church. And that is all just in these five verses that I'm going to be looking at. So, first part is the power of God. So this business of power, this will be interesting to see if this is right. Power. What do we think of when we think of power? You actually see that? You recognize that? You should all stand here, because on this screen it's fantastic. Okay, so we might think of sort of, you know, with the entertainment industry, what they're telling us is really powerful, all the Marvel comics. We may be buying into the idea that actually it's political power is the important thing, which in our world, it was the top five people in 2014 that they felt were the power people in the world. So it's Putin and Obama and the usual suspects. But the Pope is in there, that's quite cool. He's a good chap, this fella. This, you recognize this? How many of you have seen The Godfather? All right, next Sunday service is cancelled so that you can watch Godfather World 1 and 2, two of the best films ever made. Anyway, that's a scene. You see, he is the chief gangster from The Godfather trilogy. Don't bother with the last one. And he really is not a nice guy. All right, so just put this picture in to sum up not nice guys. Evil. In all of its forms. You may think that power, you may think that, you know, IS are incredibly powerful because they use fear and they use terror and they use the media, and it looks like they're running the whole of the Middle East because they're very clever. So you may think there's a number of ways that power is being shown in the world at the moment. And I just want to go to some, these are just some pictures of creation. Massive wave for the surfers out there. I love this one. A whirlwind and a lightning storm at the same time. That takes some organizing. That's awesome. That's the sun. Those are sunspots on the sun. So we're getting into the interstellar stuff now. And a galaxy. Excuse me, that's probably a good definition of power if you're trying to get your head around just how big creation is. Okay, so part one. Verse 19, I'm sort of carrying over. I'm starting from 19, which was covered a bit last week. But, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as his mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. This is the power of God. And I want you to just get a feeling of, do a bit of a word study thing. Paul is struggling to get over how huge this power is, this word power. So, just want to have a quick look at it in the Amplified. It is slightly, I can read it off here. And so that you can know and understand, see, this is still about knowing and understanding, what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength when he raised Christ from the dead. And just this dunamis word, this is the word for power used there, we get dynamite from it, you know that. Force, especially miraculous power, ability, abundance. These are the different nuances from the Greek. If you're a Greek scholar, bear with me at this point. As I just got this off the web. Power, strength, violence, mighty, wonderful work. Are you getting the idea? This is the big word. This is what this is all about. This is a big word. This is a huge word. The power of God. But the power, don't lose this, it's not just power running the universe, that's an incredible power. This is the power of God, as he said, that rose Christ from the dead, that is in us. In us. All that power is in us. Why would we need so much power? Okay, let's come out a bit small, sorry about that. Number one, to be exchanged for our weakness. What a transaction that is. That his power is made perfect in our weakness. As we take our weakness to him, that's the starting place. Oh my gosh, how many Christians are struggling to live their life and God is going, do you know what? I've done it. I've done it all. I got it all here. God's has given us the power. And It takes humility and faith, but there's a place where we just have to say, Lord, I have got no power, I got no strength. And that is what he wants. He's not expecting you to show power. He has given you power. Power to leave sin, hurt, and failure at the cross. All those things that are dragging you down, that you can't forget, that are getting in the way. To leave sin, hurt, failure at the cross, there's a power required. This is the power God gives into every part of our lives. There's a power. We are weak. But as we go to the cross, we exchange it. We need a power. We need the power of God in us to keep doing that. It's not an easy thing to forgive. I don't know if you've ever had to forgive someone of something very, very difficult. It's very difficult to do it straight off. My advice is start from where you are. Lord, make me willing to be willing. What you're saying is, Lord, give me the power. I haven't got the will. Give me the power to do this. Give me the power to start doing this. I haven't got the willpower. Here's my will. Supply the power. Make me willing to be willing. And you can work through as God gives more and you're ready for more. You can work through. Stories of forgiveness. Oh my gosh, we dealt with that a while ago. There's some incredible stories of forgiveness. We need the power in us to live for him. To be available for him. To take our eyes off ourselves. To be available to change situations. The power to be able to speak something that we do not know in the natural, a word of encouragement, a word of knowledge, some scripture that the Holy Spirit tells us we can speak into our life. Just to live, sometimes people think that a Christian, you know, if you just read a few gospels and it's like a self-help thing, really, you can just do it yourself. That was never the intention. It was never the intention to look at the life of Christ and say, I can't live like that, Lord. I need your power. That's why he said, wait. Wait for the power before you try to do this, guys. To forgive. Cover that. To love each other. An act of the will again. This isn't even like about liking each other. You don't have to like everybody here. But we are called to love each other. To love each other to the point where the world will sort of say, what's going on there? There's such a powerful love. That's what they said of the second century Christians. See how they love each other. Goes against the grain. Certainly goes against the grain of this age, this world. To love each other. To bring the kingdom in. You see, when you say, Father, your will be done, your kingdom come. Jesus said, say that every day. Daily bread. Say that every day. And you're saying, Lord, use me in that. Use me. The power to do what Christ did. When the woman with the issue of blood touched him, he said, power's gone out of me. And the woman was healed. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not just about living for yourself in this and having your own stuff sorted out. It's going through that so you can be a blessing to others. So you can bring healing into people's lives. It's not for healers. There are people with that ministry of healing. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. To pray for healing. In the power. It's not, Christ isn't going to heal anyone. It's the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. But you need that power. Greater things than these, that what I've done, you will do. You will do. He said to his disciples, through his disciples, speaking to the church. Speaking to the church. Didn't stop there. You need that power. You can't pray for people without the power of Christ. You can't. Move in any of the gifts without the power. It's not a power trip. It's power for him. For him to work through us. Okay? Stay with me. Stay with me. All right. So, to enable the kingdom of God to come in. That's power. I'm bashing through this. There's a lot in these, and there's a lot in these things. The place of Christ. Let's have a look at this. Okay, so he worked his mighty power, and he took him from, he took Jesus, you know, from the depths of sin, of death, and he lifted him up through his mighty power, and he seated him. He seated him at his right hand. That, he seated him. There's an idea, another verse as well, that Jesus took his place, but there's a sense in which the Father, right, and this is what this said, this word speaks of, he seated, he took his son, and he sat him in this place of authority and rule. He put him, if you like, in the sense of it, he put him into a kingdom. He applied him as a king into a kingdom. This is of the Father. So the Father has done this. Why is this so important, Chris? Why are you banging on about this? Because if we get hold of this, the place of Jesus, it's another revolutionary teaching. It's another revolutionary thought in here. Okay, so he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked and named, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Every name that can be named, the name of Jesus is over it. Let's just think about what Christ did for you and for everyone, because the Father would have no one perish, but all to come to faith in Jesus. This is Christ's journey. See, sometimes we think that Christ's journey maybe was from Nazareth to Jerusalem. He set his face like flint. I need to go up to Jerusalem. No, don't go, you know, blah, blah. That's, you know. Maybe you think it was from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. But I got news, it was far bigger. It was from the highest place. Jesus in heaven with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Stay with me. Jesus, through whom all things were made. Jesus in this position of receiving, you know, praise and worship, goes from that place to the manger, takes on a form, as it says in Philippians, made himself as nothing, took on the form of a servant, lived as a servant, lived, you know, all those years as a carpenter, and then went on teaching for 3 years, just going almost like, you know, hand to mouth, trusting in the Father, demonstrating a life lived on dependence on the Holy Spirit and obedience to the Father. And then to the cross, to the nightmare of the cross. No easy prayer when he says, God, take this cup from me. He means it. There's no other way. Your will be done. So he goes through all that, and he goes through death, and he goes, as it says in Peter and others, he goes into the dark place, he goes into Hades and stuff. But then, God the Father takes him from death, brings him through. Now, I'm a pictorial guy, so I just see this in layers. Takes him through all these layers, back up. Not to just restore him, not to bring him back to life in the body, in the sense of walking around, you know, Jerusalem and stuff, but into the place of glory and into the throne, and he seats him on the throne and did that for you. Because that's what it has taken to redeem you and to put you in a place, if you like, spiritually, of safety. Okay, so I want you to realize there's an aspect in this of what Christ has done and what the Father has done. And when anything comes saying, I'm not so special, I'm not so good, I would just suggest you read that. And you read some of the bits from Ephesians where it says that, you know, you are in Christ. You are in Christ. You're in that place. And so I've run out of words. I can't say anymore. I want to explode, but people, please, this is why you see you need to pray and you need to study and you need to say, Lord, reveal it to me, because you need to know it in here. You need a compass in here that aligns with heaven. Because as you see that he did all that for you, he did all that for you. Why wouldn't he give everything to you so that you can live out that life? Oh. Here's the other bit, though. He is ruler over all. Every name above, every name that can be mentioned, his name is above it. Every name. Every name. Now, we're running short on time, but I just wanted to say some examples of calling out on the name of Jesus. Okay, I'm sorry I didn't warn you, and this is might be a bit raw, but I'm very, very glad to see Rod and Jill here with us today. Because they went through a very traumatic experience, a very nasty accident. I think it'd be good if someone actually came alongside Jill right now. But what I want to say, I'm not trying to expose this, I just want to say that when I spoke to Rod yesterday and they got into this situation, we'll give the details, but the car started to lose control and it started to get very, very serious. They just shouted up the name of Jesus. And they stepped out of a complete wreck. I'm sorry to drop that on you in the sense that some of you won't know about that. The WhatsApp people, get on WhatsApp. It's a guys group and a women's group, and really there's a lot of communication going on through that. But what I want to say is, just yesterday, Rod tells me about the power of the name of Jesus. I thought, well, that's an interesting coincidence. I've had situations where I've used the name of Jesus as I've been about to be beaten up or killed or something, because I've done some interesting jobs. This is not in my domestic situation. I want you to establish that straight away. Because I found that Jan and God always work together on things. So But I've been in situations where incredible chaos is about to happen and I'm about to get completely beaten up and just called out, Jesus, this is your idea. And the Holy Spirit's just come in. And I'll tell you about those if you want, but I don't want to take up time. And the other thing, if any of you have ever been involved in the area of deliverance, which is not something you choose, but it happens, and if God moves and God calls you, then you'll be in situations where you will find that there's someone, a Christian maybe, who's not possessed, but an area of their life has been taken over, to a large extent dominated by a foreign presence, a spirit. And the power of the name of Jesus in that situation, and it is a wrestle, is incredible. The name of Jesus, the blood and the cross. And you see these things, and it gets you out of this whole thing of, this is all intellectual and nice ideas and stuff like that. There's a power. There's a power in the name of Jesus. Lastly, for healing, just, times when you just said, when Lydia used to come here, her testimony was on the web for a while, and she'd had a lifetime of really life-limiting allergies and stuff. And Gerwin's out there, everything's fine. And she'd had these life-limiting, and I just felt it would be good to pray for after communion, and he just said, in the name of Jesus, just be healed, would you come, Holy Spirit? And she had a radical healing. She went from something like 10 on all these indicators down to 2s, some zeros, verified by the medics. The name of Jesus, and you see, so often the enemy's trying to rob us of this, it's become a curse word, it's become just of nothing. Guys, it's our task, it's our calling to show how beautiful and powerful and amazing that name is. Right, food for thought there. Okay. All right, so finally, the purpose of the church, because, while it'd be good to leave it with that, this is why these are incredible verses. He crams so much in. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This, my gosh, books and volumes have been written on this. This is deep stuff, but I just want to, because it's there, I want to deal with it just in the sense of like the perspective. God placed all things under his feet, appointed him to be head over everything for the church, his body. So where this is all going, all right? The purpose of the church, as it says there, is to be his body. Okay? I'll just put these up. To serve in the world with his authority. When we said about the kingdom, bringing the kingdom in. So the ruler of everything now, placed there by the Father, the ruler over every other name, is the one who said, I give you authority. Go. All authority has been given to me. Go in my name. This thing of name, there's an understanding you've got to come to in terms of a name. It sums up all that person is, all that life. And that's why naming in the scriptures is so important. It sums up all that person's name. So this name, Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ. When you use that name, that invokes all that he is. That's the authority is incredible. And he gives you this authority, our authority in Christ. This is why you're often out of your depth when you're praying for healing. In fact, every time. And the most you can feel is a sense of peace that God is saying something. You're never going to be totally comfortable with it because you're always stepping out. So if you're scared of that little step out, you've really got to deal with that because you'll never step out. So he's given us his authority to serve in the world. And this is why I want this bit to come across, because it's not just about what Jesus did for me and how I'm seated in it and I'm great and I'm fantastic. It's so that we can be his hands and his feet, as it's been said. His mouth to be able to speak the love of God. His hands and feet to bring healing. His feet to go into situations. That's our calling. And this is the power. He's put all this power in the church. So when you think about it, all the power, that huge word power, dynamis, is all in the church. All right, the fullness of his power is in the church. The next question has to be, where the heck is it? Church is closing everywhere. Church is, you know, it's just, you know, becoming a byword. Like, I go to church. It's a sad, sad thing, isn't it? And part of the reason is, of course, is the church is its own worst enemy. For years and years, has tried to go for its own power, maybe in religion, without seeing what God can use in weakness. This is why weakness is the starting place. Weakness is the starting place to move in the power of God. Not to try and build your own religion, not to build your own buildings, not to increase your own fame. It's because he has already put all the fullness of his power into the church. Now, all I can do is point to this. I can't really understand it myself. But what he's saying, basically, if you want to walk in obedience to me to bring my kingdom in, power will not be an issue because I've taken care of it. Authority will not be an issue. You just need to believe it. And here's the other thing stopping the church, I think. I'm going to finish with this, probably. The fear of the enemy. Now, I don't just mean this in terms of our fear of the enemy. I mean the fear of the enemy has of the church working properly. Which is why the enemy works at division. And he works at distraction. And he works at bringing us down. And he works at trying to make things to take our eyes off Christ. And he, when you look around the world, the way Christians are persecuted, peace-loving communities are persecuted for no other reason. I have to see a demonic thing behind that, where innocent people are being tortured. Christians are being tortured in many countries, even when other religions are accepted, Christians are being tortured and stuff. Why? They're not going around shooting people. They're simply saying, Jesus is Lord. And it caused problems right back with Caesar, and it's still causing problems. Because the devil wants to destroy the church, and the way he wants to destroy the church is by destroying the relationships in the church. And in a way, the place we're going in society where there's not going to be an easy option for Christians, where they're closing down faith ministers. There was minister for faith that's gone. There's lots of things that are going to be closing down. You're going to be seen more and more as weird. You could be seen more and more as delusional, as Richard Dawkins has said. Every Christian should have a mental health check. You're going to be seen as crazy. So here's my advice. Go for it. What have you got to lose? If you're being sensible, they'll just think you're crazy and you're boring. They criticize Christ. Why don't we just be radical and see what happens? Why don't we just give people something to say, well, what's going on there? I'd love just to see what happened with the media. I would love, Father God, to have a raising of a dead person. Just to see what would happen with the records. See if the GP who signed off as dead and then you come back to life. What's going to happen there? It happens in a lot of countries where the bureaucracy isn't so good at keeping up. I didn't intend to say that. I'll just throw that out there. Don't be fearful. Look, guys, we are already, Christians are already the bogey people. And we will find it more and more. Other religions will get a thing. And because they don't, the society won't want to encourage fundamentalism, extremism, they'll have to clamp down on everything. Because if they clamp down on us with something else, or something else with us, that'll be racist and going against PC stuff. So we are going into very difficult times. But when you're in those difficult times, a lot of the decisions are taken away, the stakes. Do you know what I mean? So you may as well walk in what God has got for you. That's an encouraging word to finish on, isn't it? The church, to walk on with God, has to walk on, obviously, in unity and love. Okay, and we have to have faith. So, in order to believe in this stuff, you need faith to take hold of it, and then you need to walk in unity and love.